John chapter 1. We have successfully made it through the first 14 verses. So we'll plow on through, hopefully get down to the chapter tonight. There's a lot of things that we could spend time and time and time upon, but we're just going to do our best to give you the main point and move along. John chapter 1. Let's begin reading verse number 14 this evening. "And the Word," capital W, "was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And again, remember what we said about what John is showing. The Gospel of John deals with what? Remember, the what of Christ? The deity. And we see a great picture of who Christ is. And here we find again, He was made flesh and He dwelt among us and He was full of grace and truth. Verse 15, "John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have we all, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And again, to get at your mind as we read, and I hope you have been reading through this book, it's worth reading over and over. Notice once again, verse 14 and 16, we see 14, He is full of grace and truth. In verse 17, we find, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Verse 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, Who art Thou? And He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked Him, What then? Art Thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art Thou that prophet? And He answered, No. Then said they unto Him, Who art Thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest Thou of Thyself?" Again, I don't want to get too much ahead of myself, but that is one of the most critical questions that I believe a believer should ask themselves tonight. They're asking John, "What sayest thou of thyself?" And these verses, and we'll hit it again as we go through, but as we're reading it, think about what he's saying. Paul said you've got to die daily. One of the biggest problems we all have is that fact. We've got to humble ourselves that we don't think nothing of ourselves and who we are, but who Christ is. That's the key. And so that's what John's doing here. That's what he's preaching. Verse 23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they said, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptize thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Let's stop there. Father, we do love you. We do thank you, Lord, for your blessings. God, just ask you, Lord, once again, God, to help us this evening. God, just speak to our hearts. Lead and guide, direct. Help us to see nothing but you, Lord. And we'll thank you, praise you, for all you do, Lord. For us in your precious name, we do pray and ask. Amen. You can be seated this evening. And again, as we study, as I said earlier, and I don't say this to just be saying it, but the book of John is probably one of the greatest of the Gospels to read. The Gospels can be very dangerous. A lot of people read Matthew and get so confused, but you got to learn to rightly divide the Word of God. It's not what the preacher says, it's what the Bible says. And you got to realize that there's a lot of things, especially in Matthew, that are not to the church. There's much of Matthew that is to the Jew and the Jew alone. There's things that we can read and we can gain knowledge from, but there's a lot of that in there that's just to the Jew when it says some of the things. You got to be real careful in the book of Matthew, but John is a book that's full of so much truth, especially when it comes to who Christ is. And so just again, don't read it and stop. It's one of those things that every time you read it, you can just continue to glean out of it. But here in verse number 14 and 15, again, as we're just going verse by verse this evening, again, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth." And then verse 15 goes in, "John, being John the Baptist, bare witness of Him." And that was his witness. That's who he's, again, what is a witness? A witness has to be somebody that knows something, that's seen something, that has acknowledgement of what's taken on. You know, there was probably some crime in Charlotte. Well, there's somebody shot in Charlotte about every night. But they wouldn't call me because I wasn't there to see who shot them. I couldn't be a witness. But John here has come to bear witness of who Christ is. And he has something to say through what he has been given. So John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." So we have again John, and notice what he's doing. He's crying aloud. And that goes back to, again, all throughout your Bible, especially throughout the New Testament. You don't find people just handing out tracts, and I like tracts. They verbally opened their mouths and cried aloud about who Christ is. And that's one of the things that we're failing in, I believe, in our day, is we've got so quiet. The world has got so loud, and the church has got so quiet. And it's time to stand up and cry aloud about who Christ is and what Christ will do. Well, preacher, we can't do that. No, you can do that, and God's commanded us to do that. And you should, again, be very verbal in our stance for the Lord. Well, preacher, I don't know what to say. What did John talk about? He talked about the Lord. Talk about what God's done for you. And, you know, I like to talk about different things. I hunt, fish. I don't know anything about golfing, but I probably can conversate a little bit. But always think about putting Christ in there somewhere when you're talking to people. So we see John here, public ministry, out crying for all to hear. And that's, again, the same ministry we have. And then he goes into a statement that goes back to what we saw in those first verses. Now, John makes a statement here that this is he whom I have spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, John the Baptist is a relationship to Christ, right? He's a cousin. He was born before Christ, physically, upon this earth. But here John once again acknowledges the preeminence of Christ, that he was before the foundations of the world. And he's preferred before. Here's the man that Jesus himself said of women, John the Baptist is the greatest that's ever been born. But here John turns and makes that statement again. And that again needs to be I'll say it probably three times because John testifies three times in the first chapter about the fact of how he must decrease and Christ has to increase. And so we see that also in there. So verse 16 and 17, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. These two verses probably are key verses of a truth that I hope you'll get a hold of tonight. Hold your spot there. They match up with some other verses found in Romans chapter 1. Hold your place there in John. Flip over into the book of Romans. Again, as you're finding Romans, let me read the verses again. And of his fullness, and again we saw that in verse 14, have all we received, and grace for grace. Then it goes on to say, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, look with me in verse number 16. The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, with that statement, as John is standing here on the side of the bank this day, as we're reading, who's he preaching this message of Christ to? To the Jew. And the Jew was given what in the Old Testament? The law. That's the reason verse 17 says the law came by Moses. But then it made a transitional phrase of what was coming in Christ. So we find here in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, on the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, notice the statement, from faith to faith. We saw in verse 16, from grace to grace. Here we find from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, I want you to understand this, and I want to try my best to draw it out that we can see it. To get to where I am up here, how would you get here? Would you make one step up to the platform? Some could. I can't, but some could. Most people would come up those steps to get up here. So, very rarely, and I know we see people say, on that note, Tavion got saved Sunday night on the way home on the bus. Isn't that great? I was telling Teresa on Sunday night going home, I said, that boy's looking for something. He's looking for something. And Brother Poppin got to talking to him, and he told him he wasn't saved. This needed Lord, and so he got saved. Praise the Lord for that. But I say all that because it's a great picture of what we see in what these verses are saying. The majority of people, and I can't say all because that's not a true statement, but I'm going to say 90 plus percentile of people do not get saved the first time they ever hear of Christ. Now, some people do. But the majority of people have heard. Maybe mama as a child talked to them. Maybe they went to a vacation Bible school when they was a youngin. Somehow or another, they have been hearing things about this Jesus. And in that, there is a building of faith. Now, salvation is not a building process. You know, I don't go to point one. Okay, when I receive point one, I get point two. No, salvation is instantaneous. But receiving that knowledge, every man has been given faith. How do you know that, preacher? Well, the Bible tells us that, but you've got faith in things. You have a measure of faith. And when a person takes that faith and they hear something and they of Christ and they acknowledge that by faith, they start edging their way up into that faith. And then the more they hear, the more it begins to work in their hearts, and then they just keep moving up. And they keep moving up. What are they getting closer to? Christ. That knowledge, that thought process. And that's what we're seeing here in these two verses in John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. You've got to remember, John is standing there that day amongst a group of people that have known only one thing. What? The law. But now something's coming in the picture, and that's Christ. So he's saying here that, again, let's look at it. And of verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received. Again, every man's been given that light. And grace for grace. See, those Jews knew through the law. They knew God. They knew what the law had showed them. They knew what the law had taught them. But because of that, as this transition is getting ready to take place through John the Baptist, he's sent to make the way straight, they're being introduced to who God really is, and we'll see that in just a moment. And through that, you see their faith to faith, the faith in the law, transitions into that faith of Christ, and that grace. Now, when did grace show up? Exactly. A lot of people, and I don't know if a lot's the right word, there's people that like to take verse 16 and draw a line there. They're called hyper-dispensationalists. And I'm a dispensationalist. What's a dispensation? What's the word? Dispense. How is something dispensed? Dispensations in your Bible is how God was being dispensed in that period of time. What dispensation are we in right now? Grace in the church age? But a lot of hyper-dispensationalists, hyper meaning ultimate, there are divisions. But in those divisions, they're not so tall of a wall that we can't look over into that dispensation. Now, we're in this dispensation of grace in the church age. But the dispensations of God throughout the Bible are something that we can all see. But what hyper-dispensationalists do, they draw that line and they build that wall so high that they say that, okay, up till John the Baptist, it was all about the law. And then there was John the Baptist and there was a changing of tune there. And then there's the other side of that wall, which is Christ. But that's an impossibility. Because it says from grace to grace. There's always been grace. And there always will be grace. And what those two verses are showing is the fact again that as a man is transitioning, as a man is hearing truth, if a man desires truth, if a man desires light, God will give them light. I don't care who that man is or where that man is. And as men hear about Jesus, and that measure of faith that's in every man as he takes that knowledge of what he's heard and applies faith, he's growing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ till he gets to that place where he receives Christ. Same thing here in these Jews. These Jews that John the Baptist is preaching to, are they not the same ones that we'll find getting saved and following after Christ? Sure they are. How did it happen? From grace to grace. So what's that got to do with us today? Two things. First of all, it's to the lost. How can we see people get saved? They have a measure of faith. There's a light that's been put in every man. They must be able to hear a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and continually to be presented with Christ. And as they're presented with Christ, they'll take by faith a measure of that and they'll get closer and closer. And one day, God, and it is the will of God that they get saved, they'll probably get saved. So somebody has to go tell them, as John the Baptist is doing right there. So that's to the lost, this grace to grace. But it's also a building block in our own faith as we get, or as we are saved. The more we hear, the more we learn, the more we grow. It's the reason it's so important to get everything. You ought to have your children in church. You ought to have your grandchildren. And it, again, as I preach Sunday morning, Chloe's not here, but she was my sounding board. Anybody remember when I preached Sunday morning? Don't go stupid. Is it not stupid to think we planted our garden? Wouldn't it be stupid for me to think, okay, I put the seed in the ground, I'll be back in about 3 months and start getting my corn, my beans, and my tomatoes? What do you think would happen? It'd be overrun with so much trash and junk. You couldn't even see a corn stalk. Then, so that would be stupid, wouldn't it? Well, then why do we think that we can not come to church, not read our Bible, not talk to our children about the Lord, not try to instill things into our grandchildren or our children about God, and expect them just to turn out all right? Hello, I'm in my row. It'd be stupidity to think that it, but that's what that's about. The more we as believers hear and learn about Christ, the more we're growing, the more we're building that grace into grace. So that's what, again, and that's a very key concept that as the church of Christ, we need to be, again, as John was crying out aloud, we need to be busy telling others about the Lord and giving them everything that we can so that grace will be unto grace. So, again, these are just great building blocks is probably the best way I can put it. All right. Verse 17 again says, for the law was given by Moses, and we know that. And then it says there that, but grace and truth, I love that word but grace and truth came by Jesus. And again, we talked about that division there of the hyper-dispensationalists. So there's always been grace. There'll always be grace. It was a, and again, there's so many things running through my brain. That's the reason, again, you've got to read your Bible. You've got to rightly divide. That's the reason the book of Acts is a very scary book. Book of Acts is a very powerful book. But Book of Acts is also what we call a transitional book. So you gotta, again, you gotta rightly divide. But don't build the wall so high that you can't see. So there we go. Great. The law was given by Moses, and we know that. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 18. No man hath seen God. Anybody ever seen God? Had a vision. I seen God. Then either you're a liar or the Bible's a liar. What does the Bible say? No man. And that's the reason throughout our Bible, and God is a jealous God. And that's the reason throughout our Bible, God is so against adultery, idol worship. Why? Because you're taking something He created and worshiping the creation more than the Creator. And God says, there's only one God, and He's God. So, again, the Bible says, no man hath seen God at any time. So, the golden calf that they worshipped around there, in Moses' day. That wasn't God. These people that worship trees and little images, those aren't God. Why? Because no man's ever seen God. The Bible says in John chapter 4, and we'll see that later on, of course, but God is a what? Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and truth. No man's ever seen God. So, again, we need to, as we talk with people, again, you've got to be nicer than I am sometimes, but again, no man's ever seen God. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. Notice what goes on to say, the only begotten Son. And again, do you remember what we looked at, I think it was last week, the perversion Bibles, that begotten Son? If you're saved, you're a son of God. And He is the begotten Son. We're not. He is. He's the begotten Son of God. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So we see here that Jesus Christ came, and He alone has what? Declared. He's the declaration. He's the one that made known who God is. How did He do that? Through His Word. But what did He... Do you remember as a child? Maybe y'all didn't. I remember. You ever remember looking up into the stars and think about, what does God look like? What did Jesus look like? Nobody knows. Well, I got this picture. I got it at the flea market. Nobody knows what Jesus looked like. Why does the Bible really never tell us anything about what He looked like? Actually, I'm going to show you a verse here in a moment, and I'll go ahead and throw it out there. He was amongst them when they didn't even know it was Him. Apparently, He didn't walk around with a glow. He was the carpenter's son. That's what they knew Him by. What does He look like? Nobody knows. Why? Because it don't matter what He looked like. That's not what He was here to be. He came to declare God. Here we see the deity of Christ here in John chapter 1. So, but who is He? Well, God is love. We know that. God is long-suffering. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is mighty. God is kind. God is wrath. And that's who God is. And Jesus Christ came to do what? Declare that. It has been declared. Now, if I told you I saw a deer this big, yeah, right. You know, I caught a fish that was this big. Why? Because every man's a liar. That's what the Bible says. Let God be true and every man a liar. But we're talking about what I say God is. I'm not declaring God to you. I'm declaring what God Himself says He is. I'm a witness, as John the Baptist was a witness. Verse 19, and this is the record. Aren't you glad we got a record? You know, it ain't hearsay. This is a record. We've got proof of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Ever had anybody ask you that? Who are you? That right there brings a verse and a message back to my mind. It's just absolutely probably one of my favorite messages I ever preached over in the book of Ruth. She goes out to Boaz. And she's laid at the feet of Boaz that night. She comes back. She comes in the house and she's asked the question, who are you? Don't you think she knew she was Ruth? That wasn't what she was asking. Are you Ruth or are you Miss Boaz now? Who are you? I used to be born of Adam, the first one. But now I'm born of Adam, the second one. So that's the question that came back to John. Who are you? Verse 20, and he confessed. You have any problems telling people who you are? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Shouldn't be. John says, I'll tell you. I ain't got nothing to hide. Who art thou? And he confessed, denied not. Oh, you're one of those church-going people. Oh, no. Mama makes me come here. John says, nope. Denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they ask him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. So he's confronted about what he's doing and why he's doing, who he's doing it for. Verse 21, let's look at it real quickly. And they ask him. Now, again, who's asking these questions? The Jews, the priests and the Levites, the ones that should know the law better than anybody. They're asking questions. Why did they ask those questions? Again, I'm trying to help us as we read our Bible to think. We read through this, okay, they ask questions. But why did they ask those questions? Why didn't they ask if he was Elvis? They knew through the law and the promises of God that these three were coming. Notice again, and they ask him, what then? Art thou Elias? Who's that? Who is that? That's Elias. That's right. Taken up. And then the next one. Art thou Elias? And he saith, I'm not. That's not me. I'm not him. Art thou that prophet? Now that's an interesting one. Who is that? Nope. Art thou that prophet? Not just a prophet. There have been many prophets. But they're asking him, art thou that prophet? Emmanuel. Who was that prophet? How do we know who that prophet is? Well, I could tell you something, but that don't mean it's true. Let's find out who he is. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 18. They ask, are you Elias? Nope, that's not me. Well, are you that prophet? Not a prophet, that prophet. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Look in verse number 15. Again, these are the priests and the Levites. These are Jews asking these questions. They're looking for somebody. They're looking for a Messiah. They still don't think he's come. Said, are you Elias? No, it's not me. Art thou that prophet? Who is that prophet? Verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Notice the capitalization of that prophet. Not just any prophet. A prophet. From the midst of thee, where is he coming from? Where is this prophet coming out of? There's a lineage. He's coming out of them Jews. So he says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. This is Moses talking. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up, notice again, a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of them. John, are you Elias? It's not me. Are you that prophet? What prophet? Who is that prophet? That's Christ. John says, nope, not me. So they knew who Christ was. They knew they were expecting a Messiah. They knew who Elias was. They knew who this prophet was. And John says, let's go back over there to the book of John. Verse 21, and he answered, no. Again, a great teaching to you and I tonight for humility. When you make much of you, you're not making much of Christ. But when you make much of Christ and less of you, that's the key. All right, verse 22, then said they unto him, who art thou? You know, that's what people really are asking. Who is he? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? Well, I've got a bachelor's degree. I've got an associate's degree. I got this. I got that. I was awarded this. I was awarded that. What do you say of yourself? I got this title. That's what man wants to do. Why? Because man's prideful. Pride leads to what? Destruction. That's the reason John here is preaching such a great message of humility. They ask, well, what do you say of yourself? If somebody was to ask you that, what would you say? I'm just one out here in the wilderness crying about the Lord. That's what we ought to say. I don't know what you'll say, but that's what we ought to say. Verse 23. He said, verse 23, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Here we see that one once again that the Lord himself called great. What made John the Baptist great? When Jesus said that over there about John, no man greater. What would give John that accolade? Because of what he's doing right here in John chapter 1. A man that didn't think of himself, a man that thought all of Christ. He was a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptize thou then if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias? Neither that prophet. I think we're going to stop right here because we're going to spend a lot of time. I want to spend a lot of time in these next verses because it's about baptism. But I want to leave you with this thought. Here are the Jews. The Pharisees and the priests have sent these men to question John. Who are you? Are you the Christ? No. Are you that prophet? No. Are you Isaiah? No, it's not me. Well, who are you? I'm just one sent from God. Make straight the way. Then they ask him this question. And they which were sent of the Pharisees, they asked him, and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? What are they asking? The verses following are going to get into the thoughts of baptism. John said, I baptize with water. The one that's come is going to baptize in two things. The Holy Spirit and fire. They're asking about these three men. Christ. They're asking about Elias. And they're asking about that prophet. And none of those three ever baptized anybody. Baptism had never been in front of them. Why did they ask that question? And then we're going to go into those thoughts of baptism next week because baptism is one of those things that we're Baptist, right? Hello? This is Gospel Light Baptist Church, if you didn't know that. We We are Baptist. Why? Why are you a Baptist? You can't answer that question up to me right now, but why are you a Baptist? Some are you going to sit here because it's the only thing you ever know. What is it about baptism? Do you know why you're a Baptist? Do you know why we believe in baptism? What does baptism do? A lot of questions. But I want you to answer them in your own mind a little bit. And then next week, Lord willing, we'll answer them in Scripture and see how you line up. But I want to line up with what Scripture says, not what the preacher says. I want to line up with what Scripture says and not what Mama told me. Why are we Baptist? What is baptism? I don't want to give away too much, but Charismatics gets talking about that baptism of fire. They ain't got a clue what they're talking about. I can tell you that. I can't be baptized in fire. And if you're saved, neither can you. Y'all really got some funny faces. I think that's a great book. It's so big. But it's so simple, a child can understand it. If you'll just read it, study it. Why is it? I'm really quitting. Why is it? When I ask you this question, what Christ looks like, what comes into your mind? What the TV show showed you? What some artist drew? Why do those things stick into our minds more than what Scripture does? Isn't that amazing how our flesh is made that way? I wish I had an answer for why, but it's amazing to me that that's our mind will retain. We think of something. I was talking to somebody the other day. You ever tried to say yes and shake your head no? Or say no and shake your head yes? That's hard to do. Everybody's trying it now. Why? Because your brain is just not wired that way. Some of you know Don Patterson. He lives over close to Miss Shirley. I used to work with Don. How did he say it? He says, you can't smell a rose and think of an orange. Your brain's not made that way. You think of an orange, smell a rose, they don't line up because a rose don't smell like an orange, an orange don't smell like a rose. It's amazing how we're made. We're wonderfully and fearfully made. But when I say all that to say this, we are so driven by what we see and what we hear. And those things many times will override what the truth is. You'll be amazed. People that will argue with you because they heard something through a song. Because a lot of songs today aren't scripturally true. Good songs. They're just not scriptural. That's not what my gospel is. That's not what my foundation is. This book is it. That's the reason we need to get in this book. Eat it, read it, study it, live it. So next week we'll look at baptism. So, all right, let's stand together this evening.